Hello, hello, and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by InsideThePenguins.com. I'm your host, Nick Brulanski, joined as always by Nick Horwat here on this 4th of July holiday. We hope everybody that is off is enjoying their off day. We also want to extend a happy belated Canada Day to all of our Canadian friends from the true white north who celebrated that on Friday, of course. But today is the 4th of July, Independence Day for the United States. And I want to start this off with the most controversial question you'll hear all day, Horwat. Are fireworks overrated? I say yes.
See, I can't say yes because I'm from the city of Zambelli Fireworks and where we do it best.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say no just because thanks to the Z and A to Z of the A to Z's of Pittsburgh, Zambelli, they're incredible in this town. People don't go to pirate games. They're starting to a little more now with O'Neill Cruz up. But back in the day, back in the Dizay, people did not go to pirate games. They went to the opener, certain bobblehead nights, but guaranteed they would always go to the firework nights. Mm-hmm. And they still do, and they still do that. Someone posted a picture this past weekend of the amount of people that sat through the 19-2 shellacking they took just to watch fireworks after the game. Yeah. So in this town, in the great city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, fireworks not overrated because we do it right. We do them big with the company. At least it was here. I think they moved out since then, but it started here, and we do it correctly. We do it big. We do it bright. We do it right. And on the 4th of July, they're bigger and better than ever. I mean, KDKA Radio syncs up some audio so you have music to go with it. Cheap plug, but hey, they're not paying me to do that. I should be getting paid though. But yeah, in this town they do it correctly. I think that's why, at least here, they're not overrated. I've seen fireworks in other towns. Yeah, they suck. I'll admit to that. They suck in other towns.
I think it's just to the point for me where it's like, if you've seen one firework, you've seen most of them. If you've seen one fireworks show, let's put it that way. If you've seen one fireworks show, you've probably seen all the fireworks you're going to see. The only thing that I've seen different in recent memory was New Year's Day, the place we went, or New Year's Eve, I should say. He had fireballs, and this was a personal fireworks show. So that was interesting. I've seen fireballs before, but never just in someone's backyard. That was interesting.
Yes, it's always also backyard fireworks are always fun. Especially whenever I say backyard fireworks, I do mean the big ones.
Yeah.
Like the ones that are not legal in Pennsylvania.
You don't mean sparklers?
No. but I have a distant relative who lives in Latrobe, who has a big old farmland. He shoots off with the big control board.
Homemade
fireworks every year.
Oh yeah.
I think it was last summer or the summer before. Me and Megan went up to Erie where her family brought up just a bunch of fireworks. Nothing control board like. It was just beers in hand, get the lighters out right next to it and run.
Yeah.
And that was a good time. So fireworks are totally fun when done safely and correctly and when there is a lot of them.
Only in the United States are drunken people handling explosives celebrated every single year, like clockwork. But let's get into the Pittsburgh Penguins news. There hasn't been a whole lot of it. It seems like a lot of the NHL is kind of taking the break for the holiday weekend, with Canada Day being on Friday, 4th of July being today. But we do have a couple things to discuss. First and foremost, it seems like Pittsburgh Penguins will be retaining assistant coach Mike Vellucci, as he has missed out on another head coaching opening. He was interviewed by the Boston Bruins. Apparently, he was interviewed twice by the Boston Bruins. He was also interviewed by the Flyers on a very extensive, long interview. Wasn't able to get either of those positions, and now the lone job left is the San Jose Sharks, which actually coincidentally opened up late last week. We didn't know that was going to be an open position, but that is the last positioning, but all signs point to Mike Vellucci being back with the Pittsburgh Penguins. To me, I think that's a win for the Pens.
That's a victory for the Penguins for sure. It's hard for Mike Vellucci. I'm sure he wants to be a head coach somewhere. But it's hard to get into. The joke goes around every year, the coaching carousel, because it's the same 34, 35, maybe 36 guys to get into that elite group. And, he hasn't reached it yet. He's still just an assistant. You do kind of have to have your break somewhere as a head coach. I think a lot of these guys are getting their start as minor league coaches. I mean, look at Dan Bylsma. He just went back to Seattle's. He's going to head coach their first official AHL franchise, the Coachella Valley Firebirds, by the way, is an awesome name. Mm-hmm. So he might get the call back up one day if Seattle decides they're not doing the right thing at head coach. They're not doing a lot of things right. So for Vellucci, if his path is to ultimately make it back into or make it to an NHL head coaching job, he may want to look at a minor league spot. You never know what comes from those. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mike Sullivan did it here. He was the minor league head coach. I keep forgetting that. He was the mm-hmm. Wilkes-Barre head coach for a couple years or something, and it got him to where he is today, so maybe we see something come of that. But for now, win for the Penguins, and it's hard to join that elite group of coaches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've liked what Mike Vellucci has been able to do with the Pittsburgh Penguins penalty kill unit. Obviously, he had a rough first season two years ago. Last season, he got it back on the right track, finished third in the NHL on the penalty kill, did the Penguins, and a lot of that is props to Mike Vellucci. I've seen people out there saying the Penguins need to re-sign Zach Aston-Reese this summer because their power penalty kill was not the same without him. I think we're good on that. To me, I think we're good on that experiment.
Yeah, we're fine. It's at some point you need to score goals. I think, and that was my big argument with Zach Aston-Reese the entire time. Like, yes, he's a great penalty killer. Yes, he plays great defense. Score a goal.
Yeah.
The name of the game is to score more goals, not stop more pucks.
Well, and I can see in his position where, yeah, your primary job is to not give up goals and not have the other team score goals, but eventually you have to put the puck in the back of the net. That's why Brian Boyle was such a key factor for the Penguins last year, is because he could play in that fourth line role and he could score goals. Let us not forget the between the legs goal in front. I don't remember who that we were playing, but
It was a late blowout game, I think.
Yeah, he was able to. It might have been that Red Wings 11-2 shellacking, but he was able to play that fourth line role and score goals, which is something that Aston-Reese, albeit very good as a defensive forward, is not somebody that can put in 8-10 goals, which is kind of what you're looking for as the basis of a fourth liner. That's like peak performance from a fourth liner, and he was never anywhere close to it.
Yeah, and nothing against Aston-Reese. I'm sure he's going to go on to have a pretty decent career as the defensive forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of half the reason why we keep Bluger around, right? We know he's yes. good at that, but we know he could pot a good amount of offensive points as well.
Man, imagine if he has some actual goal-scoring line mates instead of Zach Aston-Reese and Dominic Simone. That's all I'm going to say. I think there's a couple stories on Inside the Penguins about that one. But no, good for the Penguins to get Vellucci back. Obviously, like you said, it sucks for Vellucci, but his day will probably come. Has experience as a head coach in the minors and the juniors, so you would have to think, especially if he's getting long interviews, second interviews this summer, that he's close to knocking on the door to getting a job.
Yeah, he has to be at some mm-hmm. point. It's someone's going to leave the carousel eventually, and there will be a spot open. I mean, we know Trotz has taken the year off, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean his spot is open. But that means there are chances of people opening up opportunities for Mike Vellucci.
Yes, so let's talk about the other one. And honestly, this is, again, we say it every single episode, this is going to be what we talk about until it happens. But it seems like the Penguins and Chris Letang are closing in on a new contract extension that would leave Letang with the Pittsburgh Penguins for the next couple of years. It is reportedly being said that they are between $7 and $8 million right now in their average annual value. When I hear that, considering Chris Letang on his previous contract made $7.25 million, if they are between 7 and 8 right now, then they are doing the exact same thing they did with Brian Rust, which for the Pittsburgh Penguins, again, massive win.
Big W. Big W with this. 7.25 is what he was at, and sure, he's getting old. And again, it's coming to the point where more and more I am becoming okay with the five-year thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not the discussion here. We're just discussing that number, which not going much higher than what he was already making is huge, because mm-hmm. we know he's been rumored to be getting 8-9 from us, no less. Mm-hmm. The open market has not started yet, so there are no rumors of other teams offering him 9. There have been talks that the discussions have reached Letang to have linked Letang to $9 million. That's a lot. Now, it's not... That's just a lot of money in general. It's not too much more than what he was already making, but it's higher than what we would like him to go to. Brian Burke said that both Letang and Malkin need to bend a little if they want to remain here. Mm-hmm. It seems like Letang is willing to do it a little if he's going to go to $7 to $8 million. Imagine if we got him at seven flat.
Oh, If he, wow. See, but that would be no really. Way, but... There's no way, like, because you know he wants more money because he has been underpaid. We've agreed to that fact. So you would imagine he does get a pay increase, but if it's only 750K, that's you can't ask for more as a member of the Pittsburgh Penguins or somebody that follows that team, especially considering the fact that for how long has Crosby not been the highest paid player on this team? If Crosby at 8.7 is your highest paid player, you're in a pretty good spot. Now, there is the issue of having so many $4 million, $5 million players because they have about half a dozen of them, but that can be handled. It's a lot easier to handle that than three or four or five guys up over that $7 million mark, which is where the Toronto Maple Leafs are at right now. That's when you start to get a little bit more issues whenever you have that many people at that big of a contract. But for Chris Letang to be between 7 and 8, I think that is a massive W if the Penguins can get that done. I told you and was starting to say off air that I was surprised we didn't get an extension announcement over the weekend. But again, might be the holiday weekend, Canada Day. Of course, Letang is a Quebecois, so maybe he was celebrating that. And they said, you know what, we'll come back, make that deal next week. If I asked you, Horwat, Letang will be signed by, and then a day, do you have any idea when you would think, like, we're not going to hold you to it, at least I'm not going to hold you to it. I don't know about our listeners, but I'm not going to hold you to it. But when do you think this deal could be done by?
Done by July 12th, 2022, the day before free agency. I'm going to take the cheap way out. Mm-hmm. Unlike Chris Letang here, which is the absolute correct way.
Yes.
Get your money and take your small raise here. Like I said, I'm fine with the 5 years, especially if we have to bring in clauses into the discussion. He has, let's say, the full no move for the first three. Line him up mm-hmm. with the Crosby deal. Ship him out after that if you need to. I'm still convinced that Crosby's got more hockey to play after his contract, but that's a different story for 3 years down the line.
Yeah.
But try and line as many people up with that three-year deal as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And if we give Letang five, fine. He is... Just all the discussion we've had over the last few weeks, I've really come around to he's not the same 35-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to be a phenomenal player at 40? Probably not. He's not going to be... He's not going to be the Gordie Howe of this generation. He's not going to be able to still play the game at an elite level at the age of even 38 plus.
Mm-hmm.
So I say we give him the five because that's what he wants. Give us wiggle room. Maybe I don't know if you can still do the deals that are like an actual payment salary dollars lower by then.
You can probably front load signing bonuses and stuff like that.
Yeah, front load it if you need to for money reasons. Maybe even, like I said, the clauses are in there. The salary cap is supposed to jump that year, I think, too, that Crosby mm-hmm. year, like a big number.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you have to backload it, because maybe you're able to pay him with the big salary cap jump that might come in.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's pointing north for me in signing Letang to almost whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying push it to $9 million, but if you have to go 8, sure. If you have to go 7, whatever, sure. 5 years, whatever. I'm cool with this now. I'm very okay with it, especially because it is the harder position to replace. I still want to retool the defense even with him around, mm-hmm. but
oh yeah,
those are just, again, discussions that priority number one needs to be taken care of first.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And here's the thing with Letang. You said it perfectly there. If it's between 7 and 8 right now, and he says, you know what, I'd actually really like 8.25. Give him 8. What is that $250,000? I know every penny counts in a salary cap league, but give him that 8.25. And the same thing with the 3 to 5 years. When you sit back and think of it, if you're okay with the 3, what is the last 2? Because he's not going to be the guy he is at the age of 40 that he is right now. We understand that. But is he not going to be a serviceable third-pairing defenseman in the National Hockey League? I have a hard time believing that he wouldn't. Now, it's a hard pill to swallow having an $8.25 million third-pairing defenseman. Look at the New Jersey Devils last year, paying $9 million for P.K. Subban services. But still, for what you're going to get in the next 3 years, and if you're really serious about winning that Stanley Cup, you can eat the last 2 years, even if Letang, it's not like you're going to be using that for somebody who's going to be awful. He'll be a serviceable player, he'll be a lineup player, and you're going to get the most of it in the front half. And if you can front load a lot of the signing bonuses, then there you go. And I wouldn't even say give him no clause in the back, give him a modified. I'm sure somebody, If there's a 10-team list, I guarantee you, if Crystal Tang is booty cheeks by the age of 40, but still making $8.25 million, I'll give you any money you can, the Montreal market will still take him.
Send him home. Yep. Send him home.
If that's the worst-case scenario, they'll take him. Somebody will take Crystal Tang at the age of 40.
Yeah, somebody will. Especially if he's still serviceable and not injured to hell and back. I think it's absolutely possible. And you know, the other thing, too, is John Marino also has 5 years left on his deal. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Line those two contracts up. Don't even bring the Crosby discussion into this. Suddenly, you have your top two right-hand defensemen up for the same amount of time. And if Letang is okay with this, if he needs to play second line behind Marino in a couple years, there you go.
That was the plan all along after Marino's rookie season. Now, of course, he's dipped, and we'll talk about John Marino in our next segment, which we didn't even throw out there the fact that we are doing a 4th of July ranking the best Penguins American-born players that are currently on the roster. We'll do that after the break. Last thing I want to leave you with before we hit that Manscaped break is when I answer the Letang will be signed by. I told you, I expected it to be this weekend. We were both probably enjoying the festivities of the weekend, and one of us would have had to, with not a straight frame of mind, write that article. But nonetheless, I expected it this weekend, so I wouldn't be surprised if it happened later today. You know, happy 4th of July, Penguins fans. But realistically, I'm going to say the NHL draft is this Thursday on the 7th of July. It's going to happen before the draft. That's what I'll say. I know that's not really going out on a limb, considering where all these conversations are at. I mean, Friedman saying that opposing GMs are saying, yeah, no, there's a path there. And then people knowing that it's within $1 million, which we all know is within 0.75, because he's not going to take a pay decrease this year.
Right.
It's understandable that it's probably coming really, really soon.
Once your conversation gets below the Jack Johnson buyout for this year, yeah, I think we're at a pretty good path right now.
Alrighty. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, ranking all of the U.S.-born Pittsburgh Penguins. We'll be right back. There's a certain confidence that comes with being properly groomed. There's an aura, a vibe. You can just tell by the way they carry themselves. We call this BGE, big groomed energy. And there's only one way to get that BGE, Manscaped. We'd like to introduce you to their best and biggest ultimate hygiene bundle yet, the Platinum Package 4.0. Manscaped is the leader in below-the-waist grooming. Now trust them with the rest. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code ALLSTEELERS. Manscaped's brand new Platinum Package 4.0 is the biggest bundle they've ever offered, giving you a bulk discount on Manscaped's top products. Inside this Platinum Package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Ultra Premium Body Wash, Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner, Crop Preserver Anti-Chafing Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Ball Spray Toner, Anti-Chafing Boxers, and the Shed Travel Bag to hold all your goods while traveling. In addition to shaving, you can now completely upgrade your shower routine with the Ultra Premium Body Wash and Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner. You'll have your skin and hair feeling hydrated and smelling fresh. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALLSTEELERS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code ALLSTEELERS. Unlock your big groomed energy with Manscaped. And remember, when you trim your hedges, your tree stands taller. Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. Happy Independence Day to all of those stateside that celebrate. We're going to do a special 4th of July rankings as we rank the Pittsburgh Penguins that were born in the U.S. of A. Now, Horop, before we get into ranking them, and I'll bring up the names here in a minute on the screen, before we rank any of them, do you know which state has produced the most current Pittsburgh Penguins?
Okay, let's see here. Definitely not Nebraska.
Nebraska is tied for second.
Alright, which state has multiple? Dublin's from Maine.
Yep.
Russ is from Michigan.
Yep.
Marino is from the Boston area.
Yep.
Where's Ruweedle from? I feel like he's... I want to say New York or California. He's from California, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He is from San Diego, California.
I forget who I'm missing.
Just give a guess.
At that point, I'm just going to say Michigan.
Michigan has one. They're also tied for second. That is Brian Rust. California, actually the state that has birthed the most Pittsburgh Penguins on the current roster, because Chad Ruweedle from sunny San Diego, California... And
Jason Zucker from California.
Jason Zucker is from Newport Beach, California. So if that's a little, nice little tidbit there. If you didn't know that, the state with the most Pittsburgh Penguins that were born there, currently on the roster, California. Gotta love to see it.
It's a hockey market, man.
Good hockey market. But let's get into this here. As we rank the U.S.-born current Pittsburgh Penguins, I'll bring up the list on the screen. Horwat, let's start with number seven. There's seven of them, and we'll go from seven to one. Who is your number seven Pittsburgh Penguin on this list?
Man, that's... Now that I'm looking at it, it's kind of hard. I have to say Chad Ruweedle just on principle, I think. Mm-hmm. Because everyone else above him is just a very good player.
Yeah.
Except for, maybe there's... All right, never mind. It's not very good, but there are a couple of... there's definitely a good amount of very good players on this list.
Yeah, whenever I go number seven, my not to say they're the worst U.S.-born, but comparatively to the other six, they're the one that's lowest on my list. So my number seven rank is Drew O'Connor, who is from Wayne, New Jersey. He's the young buck of this group, clearly. We'll really see what he is next season. I'm excited to see it unfold. I think he has a bright future as a fourth liner, potentially third liner. We haven't seen. He does have that scoring touch. But he certainly has an opening here to potentially make the Penguins' fourth line and stay there if he can stay healthy throughout the season. I have him at number seven, but I'm also very excited about Drew O'Connor next season.
And that's the exact reason why I would make Drew O'Connor the number six on this list. Mm-hmm. He has the potential to be something.
Mm-hmm.
I can't put him at the bottom just because his future looks brighter than some of the other futures on this list that I will get into in the very coming numbers here.
Mm-hmm. So, for me, actually, we have a flip-flop between 6 and 7. You have Ruweedle as 7, O'Connor as 6. I have O'Connor as 7, and Ruweedle is my number 6. Obviously, we mentioned he's from San Diego, California. Last season, to me, he showed his real worth to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Obviously, he was that fill-in guy doing a great job at it, could not play a game in 4 months and then look at the peak of his powers. But last year, he actually had a chance to show that he's more than just a replacement level NHL player. He's not a top four guy, but he's no longer that replacement level. So I was really happy with his performance last season, and I'm excited to see what he does this next season. Number five, Horwat, I'll lead us off here. I'm going with another defenseman. Brian Dumoulin would have been much higher on this list 2 years ago, but I have him at number five right now from Biddeford, Maine. I would really like to see what he could do as a third pairing guy. Similar to what happened with Cody Ceci, he started to not be able to play that top pairing role. That was in Toronto. Then he came to Pittsburgh, was placed in the third pairing with Mike Matheson. He flourished, got himself a nice contract. Brian Dumoulin's going into a contract year, and we can all agree that his days as that number one pairing defenseman are starting to become numbered. Maybe at the beginning of the season he'll be fine, but those legs might come out from under him as the year goes along. I would say if we see a guy like Brian Dumoulin on the left, Chad Ruweedle on the right for your third pairing, as long as you fill up the top four above them, that's a pretty successful pairing, and I wouldn't mind seeing it next year.
Yeah, actually, I kind of like that too. It's a lot of money to put on your fourth line.
It
we
is.
Already have, or third line, but we already have a lot of money there, and I totally agree, by the way, with the positioning of fifth on this list for Brian Dumoulin. Just because, really, that past season was not profitable for him.
Mm-mm.
And that was an issue. So, yeah, he drops to fifth on this list, shockingly, behind, if I can continue on, my number four here, Jason Zucker, who, again, could have been higher, but just couldn't pull it together injury-wise, and that's just unfortunate. But, I mean, he's the leading talk for a buyout on this team. I don't think we will, just because having more than one buyout on this frame does not sound fun.
No.
But still, I think he has a lot to prove still, but unfortunate injuries can line up for that sort of situation.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, when you talk about buyouts, nobody has it worse than the Minnesota Wild right now with that Suter and Parise buyout going to cost them over $10 million for the next 3 years combined. But when I think of Jason Zucker, I do think of the fourth best player on this list as well from Newport Beach, California, as we mentioned. He's a multi-time 20-goal scorer, so he's been that guy before when he was in Minnesota. He showed little glimpses of it when he first came over to Pittsburgh, but he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. If he's able to do that, and I've said it multiple times on this show this summer, if he can stay healthy, I could see him getting back to where he was with the 20-goal scorer pace. Now, without that, he does still play an aggressive style. It's a fun style of hockey to watch. He's a pain in the ass for people on the other side of the other side of the ice. And I just need to see him healthy. Because if he's healthy, again, somebody who could be higher on this list. But as of right now, we both have him at number four.
Mm-hmm. Just the way it is. The way the cookie crumbles sometimes.
Number three, I'm going to the mass hole. John Marino is the third best American-born player on the Pittsburgh Penguins right now. Again, a player that has the potential to be higher. If you saw what he did in his rookie season, you know that there's a lot of skills there. The league has adjusted to Marino. Now it's time for Marino to finally adjust back. I think we started to see the beginnings of it in his third season last year, but we need to see it come all the way back. Does he still have that offensive game that he showed in his rookie year? Can he still be that top pairing guy? We don't know. Or is he going to just shade himself and make himself more a defensive defenseman? Whichever lane he chooses, he needs to choose a lane because we need to know how to deploy him. And I'm sure the Pittsburgh Penguins know how to deploy him. But for me sitting here, I don't know. Is he an offensive defenseman? He's clearly not a top tier guy, but he hasn't shown that offensive skill set as much as he did in that rookie year, which is why it drops him a little bit. But I do think he is still a solid top four option for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I have him at number three among U.S.-born Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, absolutely. He has the great potential to be something. Like I just said in the last segment, a couple years down the line, if Letang's not, you know, booking on all cylinders, there's your top line right-hand defenseman, because I'm safely really assuming and hoping that his potential, like, he does reach his potential and he does grow into that role. Whenever people discuss the trade fodder in the defensive core this year, John Marino's name keeps getting brought up, and I'm really hard on keeping him around, I think. Mm-hmm. Just because I think he has the potential to be something. So yeah, number three on this list as well.
So as of right now, we have the identical 3, 4, and 5. I'm assuming number 2 and 1 are going to follow suit, but we'll do this anyway. From Pontiac, Michigan, my number 2 Pittsburgh Penguin born in the United States is Brian Rust. He's a top line NHL player. He's a great goal scorer. He's still knocking on 30's door, hasn't been able to get to that plateau. If he stays healthy for a full season, you would imagine that he's probably going to end up being at some point a 30 goal scorer in the National Hockey League, as he is in the prime of his career. Also, I wrote a story about it last week that the Penguins shouldn't, but it's still nice that you could use him in every facet of the game. At the end of the season, he was a top penalty killing forward for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He was a top power play unit guy for the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he was playing on their top forward line in general. Now, I wrote an article that they need to scale it back on Friday, so check that out at Inside the Penguins. And other than that, though, you can't be upset about what Brian Rust has been for the Pittsburgh Penguins his entire career.
No, you can't be. He's another guy that has great potential to continue to grow. He's going to get that 30 goals. He's just in unfortunate circumstances.
Yeah.
Now that he's got a contract, though, he's going to probably keep playing on the first line with Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
30 goals is definitely within reach. But what's fun is that the guy ahead of him has already gotten 40 a couple of times. And we have talks that he could hit 50 one day. Jake Guentzel, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Yeah, Jake Guentzel from Omaha, Nebraska, of course, now by way of Minnesota as well. Elite goal scorer. That's where we're at right this. But like, he has the elite tag as a goal scorer in the National Hockey League just because that is what he is at this point. Two-time 40-goal scorer in the league. I think he's potentially a 100-point player. I thought it was going to happen last season. Of course, missing the first couple of games of the year, that doesn't help. Also, the fact that you were missing Sidney Crosby. When you're playing with Evan Rodriguez as your number one center, you're probably not going to end up as a 100-point player if that happens for an extended period of time. I think at some point he does get that to that plateau. I don't know if it's next season, But honestly, I thought it was last year, so I'll just keep saying it. Next year, Jake Guentzel will have 100 points in the National Hockey League.
Ooh, a 100-point season. Okay. Does that go 50-50?
I don't think it's 50-50. I'll say 40-64 for finishing for 104 points.
And that would definitely line up with a 30-goal season for Brian Rust. So
yes.
We love to see it. I like that idea a lot. And quick honorable mentions to Casey DeSmith, who currently just doesn't have a contract, American-born, yeah. And Brian Boyle, who we're, I think, assuming is retiring, but also does not have a contract. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
That is the U.S.-born rankings. Officially, they're basically the same. It was kind of boring, sorry, but we ranked them. You let us know, if you want to, what your rankings are. I feel like they might be similar, but the only difference being 6 and 7. I have O'Connor Ruweedle as 7 and number 6. You have Ruweedle O'Connor flipping flopping. And then it's Dumoulin, Zucker, Marino, Rust, Guentzel. Complete agreement here at the Tip of the Iceberg podcast on that one. But let's finish off this episode at the 31-minute mark. We still have one last thing to get to, and that's our weekly Pens poll. We asked, and this is one that literally when there's nothing else to talk about, let's have a little bit of fun. Which dream scenario would you most want to see the Penguins pull off? And this really separated the Flurry stands from the rest of the Penguins followers, because if you look at the top two options on this, I love Marc-Andre Fleury as much as the next Penguins fan, but him returning goes nowhere near having Nathan MacKinnon traded to the Pittsburgh Penguins, which won this poll at 57%, and drafting and or trading for Connor Bedard, who will be the number one overall pick in next year's draft. And listen, if you haven't seen this kid play, which you might not have, watch this kid play. Look up the YouTube highlights. He is a force to be reckoned with. And we thought Shane Wright was going to be the next big thing. He might be, he might not be, but Connor Bedard right now is stealing headlines as the next big thing for the NHL.
This one was pretty much let me trade all of our bad players for all of your good players.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much.
gotta love dream scenarios. Yeah, absolutely. I think Marc-Andre Fleury, yeah, okay, it's storybook ending. But come on, man. Nathan MacKinnon, who's still on one of the league's best contracts for another season.
Yeah.
Into the no doubt number one-er for next year. By the way, what position does he play again? Is he forward?
Connor Bedard is forward.
Okay, because every time we see these highly talented players coming up to the draft, they're always like, oh, he scores this much, he does all that, and then you're like, he's a defenseman?
Owen Power.
Yeah. Rasmus Dahlin?
Yeah.
Like, how? But anyway, good to see that he's actually a forward and can...
No, because
it makes more sense.
If he was a defenseman, he'd just be going to the Sabres, and we'd already have to be able to say that.
Yeah. But still, I think, of course, that's the dream scenario. Mm-hmm. One of the top players in the league right now with one of the top prospects the league has seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is obviously the dream scenario. Again, take all of my bad players and I'll take all of your good players.
Yeah. So the final voting on this, MacKinnon won the entire poll, traded to Pittsburgh. It was 57%. Draft/trade for Connor Bedard, 30% of the vote, and a return of Marc-Andre Fleury LaFleur, 13%. I would go with the Connor Bedard thing. Just because, yes, I would love to see MacKinnon and Crosby on the same team. That's why I even thought of putting that into this poll. But I can get my fix on that at the World Cup of Hockey in a couple years. Like, they'll be on the same team then, and that'll be enough for me. But Connor Bedard is 18 years old. I know it's magic beans, because every draft pick is. That's as sure thing as you're going to get since, like, McDavid, I feel like. That's how people are talking about it. Get the 18-year-old stud, and then you can start over and just pass the torch. Lemieux to Crosby, Crosby to Bedard, Bedard to my nephew, Brody Mock, in 18 years. That's just keep passing that torch.
I like the idea of Crosby and MacKinnon sharing a team, but by God, I bet that's hell to play with.
Yeah, you better be in line, because if not, listen, no carbs.
Nope.
No drinking. No doing anything in the public.
It suddenly turns the Penguins practice into boot camp, and that sounds intense.
Sponsored by Tim Hortons.
Yeah. Yes, but that sounds a little intense. So, from a fan's perspective, watching those games is a ton of fun. From a player, and probably playing games with them is a ton of fun.
Listen, people can say that, but like, come on, is it really that bad?
I don't know. Whenever now the stories keep coming out that Crosby is saying that, yeah, McKinnon's just as intense as I am, and he has been for a long time. It's a little frightening. Whenever a 17-year-old Nathan McKinnon is telling already Stanley Cup champion Sidney Crosby to get your head up, I think, or wake up, whatever he said. Yeah, that guy's intense. And we know Crosby's just as intense, so that's a fun team to watch. Probably hell to play with. Probably a ton of fun to play with at the same time, but the best sort of hell.
Listen, Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia, forges animals. Apparently. Absolute machines. And nothing less. Just machine after machine. Four Stanley Cups amongst the two of them. Crosby, of course, doing the majority of the legwork on that one. But no, I still stick with Bedard. And I'd like to see Fleury back. And I know the door is still open for that this offseason for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I know you don't want to see it.
No,
but,
not one bit.
But listen, if he comes in on a $1 million deal, would you not be excited to have at least that talented of a player for $1 million?
If he's fully willing to accept being back up here again.
What do you need? Do you need a written statement from this man?
Pretty much, because we know how Alan Walsh can be. Okay. I don't need to see a sword with a Penguin uniform. And again, everyone is aware. Every pundit has said that Fleury still has the ability to be a starting goalie.
Yeah.
That being said, he is within reach of second all time. If you are Marc-Andre Fleury and you are hearing that you still have and believe in yourself that you still have the ability to be a starting goalie in the league, why not be the starting goalie for a season, two seasons, and hit one of the biggest marks in this league?
Would you not be okay with 1A, 1B that gets Fleury the opportunity to do that?
You see, that's where it's difficult for me, but still, I just think... We know how Alan Walsh can be. Tristan Jarry is on a great path of being a starter. Sure, yes. He needs some resting time, don't get me wrong, yeah. But how much resting time does he need? It's finding that happy medium that's hard to do, but that's what the coaches are for. And Fleury's going to demand a ton of money, because he can. If we are able to get Fleury for $1 million, and he's able... Dream scenario again. If we are able to get Fleury for $1 million, he says, I'm okay with being the backup to fringe starter. How's that? Then okay, fine, do it. But also, apparently Ron Hextall wants to re-sign Casey DeSmith. So, you know.
Yeah, that also came out over the weekend. I forgot to put that in here mainly because I was trying to forget it, but no, I don't hate Casey DeSmith, but I do agree
it's
with you that it's time
for new
to
blood.
Yeah, it's time to switch things up in the back.
And not only that, he may not have the contract, but Casey DeSmith did sign on to the charity softball classic, so that's about as sure as it can get.
Insider information, even though that was out on Twitter like 3 days ago, but we're good.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's yeah. All right.
But nonetheless, when we talk about dream scenarios, to me, you know, at the end of the day, drafting Connor Bedard, who's, what, 18 years old and has all the potential in the world. That's the dream scenario to me. Like, you don't go anywhere else other than that. But nonetheless, everybody enjoy the rest of your 4th of July. We hope you're having a nice day off. If you're off, if you're at work, listen, just get to that end bell, go home, grill up some hot dogs, grill up some hamburgers, drink a couple beers, and we'll see you guys on Thursday. That has been the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you guys later this week on draft day, Thursday, July 7th, and the Penguins actually have a first-round pick. We'll talk about that and more on Thursday's episode of the Tip of the Iceberg podcast.
You can follow the hosts on Twitter at NickHorwat41 and at Nick_Berlansky. You could also follow the show's Twitter handle at Iceberg Podcast. Listen to us anywhere you get your podcasts from or watch us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins. This show is brought to you by SI Fan Nation and InsideThePenguins.com.